The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
I believe that there's another move that God is longing to release and will be releasing in America. And I really am anticipational of it being another revival. And for that to happen, the church needs to be in oneness. They need to be in unity, where all generations are genuinely honored, respected, revered. Yeah, yeah. In other words, just so grateful for each other. Because here's the beauty. The older generations have learned. Younger generations are full of zeal. And the cross-pollinization, in other words, the imparting from the generations that are now have wisdom because of time invested. And I'm going to use the word scars because it really costs at times. There are lessons learned that cost. And to help the younger generation come up through that, if they are respectful, if they are honorable, they'll learn and not have to go through that.
Today on Sought Out Global Radio, we'll continue our month-long series on generations and discuss how we can better relate to one another despite our ages and show honor, value, and edification in the process. That's coming up next on Sought Out Global Radio. Welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of what we love to call around here is Holy Spirit Radio. And joining me today are Sought Out Global leaders Herb and Bethany Marks and my own wife, Teresa Grote, who joins us on this episode where we're going to talk a little bit more about generations. And first of all, welcome to all three of you.
Really good to be here, and especially Teresa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
That's
exciting.
It's
good. And it is good to have Teresa pinch hit since Krista's on a move and can't be with us this week. But one thing that I think is really good about what we're going to talk about today is it kind of wraps and connects to what we talked about last week. Krista talked about generations and the different generations from the GI generation to the Gen X and the Gen Ys. And so we've decided to bring you into a coffee talk that we're going to have today. Why does God care about them? Do they have an identity like we all personally carry? We all have an identity with God, I believe. But the generations, we never think about, we fit into a generation. So
the unity of the generations.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And you and I, and Teresa, we're the same. Herb's a little bit ahead of us, but technically a baby boomer as well. We're on the fence between baby boomer and Gen X, right? What did you identify with about Gen X? Why does that connect with you?
I so relate to the out-of-the-box creative entrepreneurial thinking that the Gen X has as kind of a mantra almost.
Yeah.
Individuality and taking the hill.
Yeah.
But my husband's a boomer. I can relate to it by you know, knowing him so well. And we have lots of generations of people we know. I love what Krista brought to the table of the God-given, called out reason for each generation. Mm-hmm. And the way that the enemy came in and took what was God and exploited it and it bit people. And to call it back to the God-ordained thing. And Herb, you got something about that with the unity of the generations in prayer recently.
Well, it's just the other day when I was in prayer, the emphasis that came to me from while in prayer was really interesting. The fact that God's heart longs for the church to be so united across the board. And that there be no generational divisions, you know, in the church. And that there's honor for every generation. When it comes to, you know, our son's age is 14, so we're dealing with the junior high school, that they see the high value of honoring those that are retired, the generations that have gone ahead of us. But somehow they need to be brought into the beauty and the value of what generations have invested in, what we have today in America, so that the young generations rising up would go into their future with honor and respect. And listening to how the different generations were honored, because as those generations are honored and looked back upon with respect and honor. And as the stories are told and retold again around, you know, the fireplace or, you know, over dinner. Yeah. Or Thanksgiving, you know, that preserves the vision and the purpose of our futures by simply rehearsing, you know, what God has done in an amazing way in lives that have invested into our past to bring us to where we are today. And that's why it's so, that's why the family is so severely under attack as well, is to try to minimize the importance of generations.
I think young kids don't know how to relate with people who are older. A lot of times it seems like because we go off into our individual groups, the kids don't have experience dealing with them. It's just because they're different. They are less understood by, say, senior citizens. And that's sometimes interpreted, it seems like, as dishonor. I don't know that it is as much as it's just a lack of exposure to one another.
Exposure is a good word.
You know, my obviously, my kids' grandparents, they know them. They know their mannerisms, and you know, obviously your family knows your son and how he is. And but take another kid and bring them in, and all of a sudden a mindset might appear, right, from someone who doesn't know them, doesn't know how they act, and so it's maybe misunderstood. Is a lot, you know, it seems like a lot of this is misunderstanding. It may not necessarily be dishonor as much as it can be misunderstanding between generations.
We took a young man, one of Derek's friends, and we went to on vacation for several days. And the longer this kid was with us, the more we got to know him, and which helped us to understand a bit more about him. And then we knew what was lacking, too, in his upbringing, just because of exposure and time with him. The fact is that if there's misunderstanding, it's usually because there's a lack of experience and exposure and time spent together. And that's the dividing lines that seem to be exaggerated, is just simply crossing over into someone else's world for a little bit, to listen to them, to be with them, not to be on your own agenda, but to just give them yourself for a little bit. I really enjoy, and I was raised this way, those that are much older than I. And, but now at my age, and I've carried this for so long, but the fact is that they have something that is priceless, money can't buy, the experiences that they have, and the wisdom that they have paid to now acquire, I want that, you know. And because I don't want to have to go and reinvent the wheel. They've already done that, been there, done that. They bought the t-shirt, and now they've got something to say about it. And who's listening? You know, we need to be people who are listening, and we need to stop talking and listen to those who've been out ahead of us, because they have a history to impart to us. And we want to know how to best impart what my wife and I have for our son's sake, because he's coming up quick underneath us. And we're really wanting to understand the importance of honor and also respect.
One of the things that I love about God is how deliberate and intentional he is. And he points out to us what we need to be deliberate and intentional about. And it sounds like this is one of those things that we need to get a hold of, is to look around and step outside of our comfort areas and see other people of different ages and start learning and listening and getting a hold of what he has in mind in that kind of process, and just being deliberate, intentional about it.
Oh, Teresa, I think that's such a good point. And if I could digress for a minute, Mark, you mentioned what I got. No, honey, you did. Sweetheart, you did. My wife, Bethany, that's who I'm calling honey and sweetheart on in the studio.
I thought you were talking to me.
No. And that is, while I was in prayer just a couple of days ago, the emphasis of the Lord came, it really wrapped around my heart, and that is the importance of all generations, that were the dividing lines are erased, that were doing really well. And it's not to say that teenagers are to never go out and have fun with themselves, but it's to come away from and instead invest towards, you know, really linking arms with all generations within the church. And here's why. I believe that there's another move that God is longing to release and will be releasing in America. And I really am anticipational of it being another revival. And for that to happen, the church needs to be in oneness. They need to be in unity, where all generations are genuinely honored, respected, revered. Yeah, yeah. In other words, just so grateful for each other. Because here's the beauty. The older generations have learned. Younger generations are full of zeal. And the cross-pollinization, in other words, the imparting from the generations that are now have wisdom because of time invested. And I'm going to use the word scars because it really costs at times. There are lessons learned that cost. And to help the younger generation come up through that, if they are respectful, if they are honorable, they'll learn and not have to go through that. Mark, you had a comment that you mentioned just earlier about the ceiling. Share that with us.
Yeah, we were talking offline before, and it's this whole idea of it's a quote that I don't think any of us know where it originates. Bill Johnson, we believe, from Bethel in Reading, who said, "Our ceiling is supposed to be the next generation's floor." And I've always seen that as I almost have this vision of my kids' feet or some kids' feet on my shoulders.
That's awesome.
Right? Yeah. And if you look at Ephesians 4, the model of Ephesians 4, God gave me a picture of that model once. And I could see it perfectly as all of the individual giftings work together. Unity is released as a byproduct of the five being lifting up and equipping the saints for service. So they come in and the evangelist speaks and the prophet speaks and the apostle speaks and each one speaking and training up the individual for preparation, right? So that the body can be the body, you know? And then they release that person in wholeness, right? Each piece. Right now, we only have 20%, it seems like, in most places. Maybe 40. There's a couple of expressions that are coming out of the fivefold. And we typically, it seems like we're looking at getting it from just one person. And is if one person has all of the fivefold ministry. I think we just really miss the other voices. We miss the other anointings in the body of Christ that people are yearning to hear. I know they are. They're sitting in those seats. And then someone walks in with an apostolic anointing or in a prophetic anointing or whatever the anointing may be, and it makes their heart sing and they go, "Oh yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. I want that. I want to be like that. That's that guy's saying that woman is totally bringing, you know, what I carry in my heart." And then they become absolutely, you know, mobilized to what they wanted. They now know who they're made to be.
So where does it take us with identity regarding the generations?
Well, you know, to me, our individual, we all have an identity, I think that, but many times we don't know what it is. And this is where I think the prophetic comes in and speaks the heart of God into people and the belief that we are more than what we think we are. And so often it feels like to me, we don't believe about ourselves what God already believes about us. He sees us in who we're becoming. We live in where we are.
Well, what I love about God is he usually tells us before we step out into something, like he did Gideon, for example. Gideon was just in the wine press working, and God came and said, "Mighty warrior." He called him out where he was before he fought the battle. And I really love that about God. And the prophetic is really important for that. And I also wanted to say something about unity. I think it's important to note that it's not conformity.
that it's unity is all of us being who we are.
Absolutely.
Our diversity.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
We're all different, but we're honoring each yeah. other in yeah. those differences, yeah. Yeah. linking arms in those differences.
We see how our differences come together for everybody's benefit.
Yes.
Yeah, and often a control environment would try to change a person to be like someone else. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, how many times in a marriage, you know, does a husband or a wife try to control their spouse to be more like them subconsciously, just for the sake of familiarity and being quote unquote, you know, safe. When you know, things become tough or when things, you know. And so what Bethany, what you're talking about is it's so key to know who and how we're made, because God's wired us each so uniquely. And I think, again, to honor that, to look at the different generations and say, no, they're not going to be like me, nor are they supposed to be like me. God has put an emphasis on that generation, and now we're to glean from them and learn how to link arms with them, like Teresa was saying. And we need to, I think, be a people that are really heads up right now, because I think we're going to see more and more of the emphasis of what God is saying to the church. My generations leading up to now has been very significant and purpose-filled. Don't lose it, but honor it and carry it forward with respect and honor, and move into what I've called it to be. And celebrating each other's differences is an art form in itself.
That is a radical thought, because that's not where we live today. We're simply not doing that. We are, I think we're afraid that something is of an unknown. That person's different than I am. I don't understand them. I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know what they're going to do. Therefore, I don't trust them. Therefore, I control.
Well, Mark, especially take a look at some of the outward expressions of, you mentioned fivefold a few moments ago. And so the church is cautious, and we're going to use the word again, prophetic, only because it's in some cases it really has not been represented well. And so when there... This is going to challenge a few of us, but here we go. When we allow the Holy Spirit, and many times the voice can be raised and say, yeah, within order, but I think that's a defensive phrase sometimes, because if the Holy Spirit were allowed expression in the ways that he would choose, it would take us past our Western thinking and bring us into a kicking out the walls, as it were, of our narrow boxes of experiences. Because some of the ways that he would demonstrate some of the kingdom being released upon the earth would certainly alienate the religious experiences that would bring us up to this far and make us really uncomfortable. But little do we understand about the breaking through and breaking into by authorities that are released from heaven to the earth for the sake of souls. Because truly God's heart is found in what Jesus did on the cross when God bankrupted heaven so that we could be bought. And that is through the blood of Jesus. And that was a radical expression. And it went past anybody's intellect. Couldn't wrap their mind around the fact that the Son of God would come to the earth for us. Well, how much more then, I mean, is the economy of heaven to back off of that radicalism now that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father? I think not. I think that the Holy Spirit would come with the continual pursuit of souls, as he was with the intensity of Jesus going to the cross. So, why is it sometimes that we want to make our environment so safe when sometimes, if the Holy Spirit had his way in the church, he would rock the walls for the sake of our society to take notice? You see, here's some thoughts I'm just throwing out there. Generationally, there's a whole new definition. There's a new slate that is yet to be written on. And this generation is coming up underneath this, is about to write on it. And it's right there. It's right there that we don't want to hinder what God is doing when he's calling us to unity, but he's also calling us to seek him, to let him be who he wants to be in his expression in the church today.
It's such a cry of my heart that God could be who he is
when we meet together, and it's been stirring inside of me lately, like he's asking his people, will you let me bring you into places that you maybe not have experienced before? Maybe risk being uncomfortable, maybe places that you don't understand, because I want to do things that you haven't seen before. I believe we're headed into a time that is bigger and wider and higher than we've been before. And to be in that place, we have to, I believe, be more open-handed, willing to let him be God. And we don't hinder what he's doing because of fear or a tendency to control. And I just think he's asking his people that question right now. Like Herb was saying, he wants to bust out and come into a new place and breathe a new breath on us. And we just need to be willing. It's that simple.
Do we trust God enough to do that? To bust our paradigms? To show up and do something new that's not in Scripture? And I'm not talking about something necessarily inherently unscriptural. I'm simply saying we haven't seen that manifestation. So therefore, does it mean that if we haven't seen a manifestation of the Spirit, that therefore is necessarily not God?
Well, a wonder. What's a wonder? What's a sign? We have signs we've seen. There might be signs we haven't seen.
I've heard a lot of people be critical of something like the fire tunnel. And I keep a blog and I posted something up about fire tunnels. This busted paradigms. And then I said, you know what people are doing in a fire tunnel? They're walking past people who are laying hands on them and praying for them. What's wrong with that?
One thing about the younger generation that we need to get a hold of is they're more risk takers.
Absolutely.
They will take a hold of things. They're not afraid. And when it comes to, you know, walking in the Spirit, I think we need that desperately, that God is wanting us to walk on water and we can't be afraid. And to link arms with the younger generation that will step out of the boat, I think it's really important right now.
Here's how strong God feels about this. In Malachi 4:6, it says, "And he," this is King James Bible, "and he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I, God, come and smite the earth with a curse." So he is so hard after this that it's over if we can't do, if God doesn't help us to do this, if he doesn't bring us together as the generations towards each other, then he's saying a very strong thing there about smiting the earth. You know, that's how strong he feels about this subject.
And so on that note, we're going to have to pick it up next week and continue on that and maybe bring in some words for the generations, for people who are listening in various places on the timeline of history and what we think maybe God is saying to them. But for today, we just ran out of time. We just ran out of time. The time flew by.
It did fly by. Really? We're truly out of time? I mean, we are. Okay. Well, we'll pick it up, won't we? And take some time of ministry for people. By the way, I do want to say that we've been specific with our ministry with some of the words of knowledge, and people have been calling saying that that's us. That's me, you know, and it's really fun to hear that. So we'll pick it up.
The goal that Herb mentioned of unity in the body of Christ, despite any perceived or real generation gaps, is such a lofty goal. But with God, true unity is always possible. Please join us in being one of those who helps usher that into places where you have influence to edify and value people young and old. Looking ahead at our calendar, October is a busy month, so be sure to go to our website at sawedoutglobal.com if you miss any of these dates. Coming this Saturday, October 4th, we'll be hosting a home encounter in Edmonds. If you haven't been to a home encounter, we encourage you to come. There's nothing like a quieter, safer, personal, and intimate environment of a home setting, and it's a key part of Sought Out's ministry. So we hope you'll consider joining us. As we've grown, it's been more difficult to fit our visitors into some home settings. So on October 19th, Sought Out will be hosting a regional gathering at New Life Center in Everett. It should be a great time of worship and prophetic ministry, so please be sure to put that on your calendar. To write us, our address is P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. Sought Out Global Radio also accepts online donations. Just go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. That's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Please join us again next week, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.